I'm going to begin reading from 1 Corinthians 13. Well-known passage. We've worked through 1 Corinthians 13 as a congregation, but always worth noting. The Apostle Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am a sounding gong or a cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love envies not. Love boasts not itself, and it is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly and does not seek her own. It is not easily provoked and thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." And then 14:1 should really go with chapter 13. Follow after love. We have times in the life of the church when we ask questions like, what can we do? You know, we see difficult things going on around us in our culture, and we say, well, you know, what would be the best thing to do right now? And there's different things you can do. You know, you can join with peaceful protests if you want to do that. You can write articles explaining ideas that are helpful. You can work to promote justice, which is something that we ought to do as the church. But as we've thought in the last several weeks about practical Christianity, and we've dealt in several ways, we've dealt with that which is practical in our relationship towards God. One thing that's very important to remember in your practice as a Christian is that the love that you have for others and the love that you show to one another as the church is a great weapon in the arsenal of the Christian. You know, we think about the many things that we could do or say, and yet often that which is most obvious and may not necessarily be the most easy, but definitely the most readily accessible, is something that we can do as part of living out the Christian life. And that is showing love for one another and letting the world see that love that we have for one another. Now, when we think about what it means to be a Christian that demonstrates love, I think that there's two big errors that the world has that are worth noting as being things that are not Christian love. And the first is what I would call the to each his own attitude. You know, the assumption that because you're a Christian, if you're not super judgmental, then the other option is that you really don't care what anyone thinks, what some have called quiet approval of all opinions. And that's not Christian love. You know, Christian love is a practice that is deeply rooted in what we believe. You know, we are doctrinal Christians, and from our doctrine comes our practice. Doctrine always comes before practice. So practice should flow from what you believe as a Christian. So Christian love is not the idea that that, you know, to each his own, let people do what they want. That's what being loving is. That's sort of the world's current definition of love. And it is not something that can be found to be biblical. Now, the other definition of love is for the Christian, or the negative definition would be people thinking that Christian love is just giving away things, you know, giving to the poor and helping these people and helping those people. And the text that we read, 1 Corinthians 13, if you look at verse 3, verse 3 has a brilliant statement that shows that giving to the poor is not always out of love, and it can be done in such a way that is unloving. Listen again what Paul says. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and yet have not love, it profits me nothing. So there's a way in which we could just give away everything that we have and it still not be under that category of definition that we would call Christian love. And I think that's important. You know, being a humanitarian without an understanding of Christ cannot be called Christian love. You know, it might be called civil love, but it can't be called Christian love. So what is it then? Well, Christian love, first and foremost, is a fruit of the Spirit. And that's Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22 tells us that love is the first or the primary fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So love is something that is produced within us by the Spirit of God. Now, those of you in, you know, your little Zoom boxes, we all have different characters. We all have different dispositions. And some of you are more naturally loving than others of you. And that natural love is not necessarily your Christian love. Christian love is produced by the Spirit of God, and it is a fruit of His work within us. And I think that that's important, because sometimes people get mixed up and they think that Christianity is, you know, being the nice guy or being the nice girl, or, you know, but that's not. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's a work of the Spirit within you. Secondly, what it is Christian love is something that is seen in all of your actions. We read 1 Corinthians 13. How many of those were feelings? And the answer is none. They're actions. So Christian love is something that is demonstrated. It's something that is seen. So when we talk about love and we talk about, you know, warm fuzzies or feelings or those sorts of things, those are all appropriate when we talk about love. But when we're talking specifically about Christian love, we're talking about actions that are able to be demonstrated, that are produced by the Spirit of God in the life of the Christian. Something else, thirdly, for Christian love. Christian love is something that focuses on responsibility more than just rights. And we see that again in 1 Corinthians 13. There's many ways that that we could demand rights, but Christian love is something that focuses on the responsibility of the believer in the midst of circumstances. And then one more aspect of what it is, 1 Peter 2:23 says shows us that Jesus is that example of Christian love. It says, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. That is a really great demonstration of what Christian love is. Now, maybe in your time of spending time at home over the last several months, you've had many times or several times when you have had to remind yourself to deny yourself and to not get worked up about this, that, or the other thing. And here Jesus serves as that example of Christian love in that when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not respond with threats. Jesus serves as our example of Christian love and in very practical ways as well. Now, what else does Christian love do for us? I'll give you several things that Christian love does for us before we move into a time of prayer. The first is that Christian love is an evidence to the world that you belong to Christ. And that is one that should be very, very obvious if you've read the New Testament, and yet it's something that fails us time and time again. John 13, 34 and 35 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And that's very important, isn't it? You guys know some of the things that are very important to me as a Christian and as a minister. You know that the Westminster Confession of Faith is important to me. You know, many of you know that church history is important to me, that 17th century church history is important to me. The Marrow men in their preaching, things that are important to me. But those are not the things by which the world will see that I am a true disciple of Jesus Christ. That may come as a surprise to you, but the Word of God says that all people will know that you are a disciple and that I am a disciple if you have love for one another. And that love is to be demonstrated within the church. That is that primary place where that love is demonstrated, that becomes the evidence to the world that you belong to Christ. And again, I think that we're in a time where it's important to demonstrate that, to go out of our way to demonstrate that, to work hard at you know, reaching across aisles if we need to demonstrate that to brothers and sisters in the church, and show the world that we belong to Christ. The world cares very little about some of the things that we hold dear. You know, the world probably doesn't care why we don't have a piano or an organ, and the world doesn't care if we sing hymns or if we sing psalms, and the world cares very little about many of the things that we hold dear as the people of God. But something that the church or that the world is able to hold on to and say, it's obvious to me because of this that they belong to Christ. It is our love for one another. The second the second thing that I want to show you the value of love for is that love is the binder of all godliness and sanctification. You know, so you think about, you know, binder is a cooking word, something that holds the things together. And when we think about our spirituality and we think about things like godliness and sanctification, what is that that holds all of that together in the Christian? And the New Testament teaches us that love is that which binds those things together. Colossians 3, 12 through 14 says, "Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." So you want your doctrine and your practice to come together. You want to bind them together so that you're a balanced Christian. The New Testament says love, Christian love, is that which is going to do that. Or the way that you bring together the truth that you have been forgiven by Christ and that you are to forgive others who have offended you or harmed you. How do you reconcile those two? How do you bind them together? Christian love is that which binds them together, as well as other aspects of the Christian life. Your holiness, your compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, your forbearance, all of this bound together, bringing together the truth of the teaching that you believe and the practice of what you believe, bringing them together in or by love. So evidence to the world that you're Christ's, a binder of your godliness and your sanctification. Thirdly, love, Christian love, is the goal of all gospel ministry. You know, you could ask me on any given day, "Pastor Nathan, why do you do what you do?" And I might give you different reasons on different days, you know, depending on mood and all sorts of things. But 1 Timothy 1:5, the Apostle Paul says to young Timothy as a pastor, this is his charge, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So Timothy, why do you minister as a minister of the gospel? What's the point of teaching these people, Timothy? What's the point of giving them doctrinal truth and application and counseling and encouragement? What's the point of that? Well, the aim of it, or the goal, is Christian love, so that they would see that and demonstrate that in their lives. Next, we see that Christian love is a visual for how much you have been forgiven by God. You know, it's difficult to consider, you know, what is the depth of your sin that has been forgiven and how can you reflect that in your life? 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin." So your sin has been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And how can you reflect that at all? How can you even begin to explain that to a world around you that probably doesn't want to even hear words like atonement and propitiation and mercy seat? They don't care. But they see things like your love demonstrated, and that is a reflection of the forgiveness that you have received by Christ, because love covers a multitude of sin. And then lastly, when we think about Christian love, this one may be a little bit jarring when you hear it, but hear me out. Christian love, something that you demonstrate towards other believers, is also something that other Christians have a right to from you. Now think about that. Other Christians have a right to being receivers of Christian love by you. Romans 13:8 says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." What do you owe to another Christian? You know, should you go up to another Christian and just always borrow $20 bill? "Hey, I'll get it back to you. Can I borrow 20 bucks? Can I borrow 20 bucks?" You know, what should you owe another Christian? You know, should you walk up to someone in church and the first thought in your mind be like, "Man, I have borrowed 20 bucks from that guy so many times that, you know, I don't even want to see him anymore"? No, the Apostle Paul says what you are to owe the other Christians in the church is the love that is required of you. It is something that other Christians have a right to from you. And that may be difficult. Again, it's, you know, when we think about rights, we usually think about them coming towards us rather than coming from us. And here, coming from us, from you, towards others in the body that is called the church, is that they have a right to experience Christian love from you. Owe no one anything except love. I want to give you three meditation points as you carry this into your week. I thought about at first giving some applications, and I thought, well, the whole thing is like super applicable, at least it is to me. So, you know, I want you to live it out. I want you to practice it. But I also want to give you something to meditate on, to think about as well. So I'm going to give you three meditation points. The first is this: biblical love connects you to God in a way that no other attribute of God can. You know, think about the attributes of God and think about the ones that you are able to demonstrate in your life, you know, so that others can see that and see that as a reflection of you as an image bearer of God and one who's being restored in the image of Jesus Christ. Even the ones that are communicable are often difficult for us to demonstrate. But love is that one that ought to be able to be demonstrated in such a way that you and God are connected, you know, as those your attributes that you have, communicated attributes, and the attributes he has that he communicates to you, as those touch, people are able to see that and see something of God in a way that they're not going to be able to see in other attributes. Even ones that are big, like in justice, you know, or in wrath. You know, these aren't ones where you're saying, I want to use these to demonstrate above all who God is. But in love, you can do that. So the second meditation, biblical love is a very practical grace. You know, we read 1 Corinthians 13, the three big graces of the Christian faith are faith, hope, and love. We know that. You know, some of you may have, you know, have them done in a cross stitch, or you have some, you know, painting of faith, hope, and love. You see that a lot in Christian homes. What is the most practical of the three? It's love. I mean, grace, think of ways you can practice grace. Or hope, think of ways you can practice hope. love, so many ways that you can practice love in the life of the church. So it's very practical as far as a grace goes. So you can meditate on that. How is love more practical than faith and hope? You know, something you can work through. You know, maybe if you're at your computer screen and you want to take the 5-minute YouTube break, you can just pause and say, I'm going to think about Pastor Nathan's second meditation for 5 minutes rather than go on YouTube or look at memes or whatever you do to rest your mind. And then thirdly, lastly, and I really love this, and you know, I when we open it for comments, I hope there's some great comments on this because I think it's just so cool. Biblical love has endurance beyond faith and hope. So when we are all dead and in heaven, biblical love stands. Faith and hope no longer stand. Faith becomes sight. Hope becomes certainty. What does love become? It stays love. I think that is so valuable for meditating on. When we think about the great value of Christian love, even as we're ushered into eternity, you know, we can check our faith at the door and we can check our hope at the door. But love goes with us into heaven, into eternity, as something that will really perfume all of heaven for all eternity. So a bit of a reflection on Christian love and what it means for all of us to love one another.